This is evening prayer, or Vespers, for the second week of Advent, for December 7th. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us. Our psalm today is Psalm 2. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O King of kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Today we sing, or I sing, or try to sing, two verses of hymn 350 in the new hymnal, Come Thou Precious Ransom Come. Come thou precious ransom come, only hope for sinful mortals. Come, O Savior of the world, open are to thee all portals. Come thy beauty let us see, anxiously we wait for thee. Hail Hosanna, David's son, Jesus, hear our supplication. Let thy kingdom scepter crown, bring us blessing and salvation, that forever we may sing, Hail Hosanna to our King.
The first reading for this evening is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1 through 17. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has devised evil against you, saying, Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the city of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." The prophecy we heard in the first reading from Isaiah is very important to us Christians, but it is also very odd. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It's important for us because as Christians, we read these words to apply to Jesus, that the virgin that will conceive is Mary, and her son is Jesus Christ. However, this prophecy is also odd because it doesn't really seem to have much to do with what's going on anything else in the passage. The promise of a son named Emmanuel, born to a virgin, seems to come out of nowhere. To see what I'm getting at, look at the situation in Isaiah 7. Perhaps your knowledge of Old Testament history is better than mine, but if you're like me, you might need a little review to understand what's going on. After the reign of Solomon, the nation of Israel was split into two parts. The northern 10 tribes formed a separate country under a different king. Confusingly, this country was also called Israel, although sometimes it was called Samaria, named for Mount Samaria, where they worshiped God. And also its capital was a city named Samaria, which I believe was on top of Mount Samaria. But anyway, gets more confusing than we need. Anyhow, the southern two tribes, Israel originally had 12 tribes, the northern 10 tribes become the new nation of Israel, and the two remaining tribes formed a different country. These two tribes were Judah and Benjamin, and the country that they formed was simply called Judah, or later Judea, and that's why people from Judea in the New Testament are called Jews, and are still called Jews today. Judea was smaller and poorer, but it did have the advantage over its northern neighbor in that it kept the capital city, Jerusalem, where the temple and the palace and all the other things that belonged to the old kingdom still remained. The story in our reading today from Isaiah has to do with a time when the northern kingdom, working with their ally Syria, has invaded the southern kingdom and has laid siege to Jerusalem. So these are the people of God waging war against the other people of God, in a sense. And so who's on the right side here? That's a little difficult to tell. Our reading, though, starts with God sending Isaiah the prophet and his son. He's told to take his son with him, and why that is isn't exactly clear either. But Isaiah and his son are told to go meet with the king of Judah to deliver a message from God. The message is this: God will take care of it. Judah will be safe. Israel and Syria will be destroyed very soon. And as we know from other parts of the Old Testament and from history, they would both be conquered by the Assyrians. And in fact, the northern 10 tribes will be carried into exile and never return. But now, having delivered the message, God then prompts Isaiah to offer a sign to the king. King, ask me for a sign that I will do, and that way you will know that I, God, am going to do what I said I was going to do. This is what Isaiah offers to the king. Yet the king refuses to ask for a sign. Now, whether that's because he's trying to be considerate or because he doesn't want God's interference is not quite clear. Again, from other parts of the Bible, if you go read Chronicles or probably Second Chronicles, you will see that this king is not a particularly good king insofar as he doesn't really worship God. So he might not really welcome any sort of interference from God. So he doesn't ask for a sign, but in response, God gives him a sign anyway. Here is the sign that you don't want, it's as though God is saying. Here's the sign you didn't ask for. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. And as you might know, Emmanuel means God is with us. Now, this is a very complicated story, and as I was reading it before, you might have sort of lost the point and sort of wondered why we were reading this anyway. But I think the main point is that this is a sign that the king did not want. He probably enjoyed hearing that God had promised to destroy his enemies, even if he didn't particularly believe in God, but he never asked for a baby, much less a baby born to a virgin. What was the point of this? The king is concerned with an invasion. If his enemies win, a lot of people will die, and the king himself will probably die. What is some baby going to do to help him? Even if it's really born of a virgin, so what? The sign God wants to give is nothing that he can use. This miracle of a virgin birth doesn't really help him. A baby isn't going to go to war or fight or defeat anybody on a battlefield, which is what the king needs. And so what's the point of this prophecy? What is the purpose of this baby born to a virgin? When you think about it, the situation of the king of Judah is maybe not so different from ours. Perhaps you too are under siege. Maybe you have some kind of problem that seems unsolvable. Hopefully you're not under attack directly by enemies, but maybe the problem is money or illness or some other trouble at home. Or maybe you don't have such problems right now, but you've had them in the past. And by experience, you know that more problems are coming in the future. Again, this is much like the situation of God's people in the Old Testament. The history of Israel seems to be just a long series of disasters, from slavery in Egypt to wandering in the desert for 40 years to a nearly endless number of invasions by foreign powers. Even in the New Testament, this continues, and we see the last invader, which is the Roman Empire. And maybe your life seems similar. Not that you're worried about Roman invasions, but if you are like most people, your life might feel like a series of disasters. There's always some problem to fix or some trouble to endure. And even if you overcome what the matter currently is, you know something else will be on its way. Some new trouble is always coming. And now, like the king of Judah, you hear the news of Advent. The virgin has conceived and given birth to a son, and he is called Emmanuel. Good news. Well, it's supposed to be, but like the king of Judah, you might wonder what the point of this sign might be. Will the baby in the manger pay your credit card bills? Will he cure your mother's cancer? Will he make your kids behave and help you get along with your husband? He's not quite the thing you might be looking for. Again, it's strange that God gives this prophecy about a virgin giving birth to a son in this place. But in a way, that prophecy would be out of place anywhere. What good is a baby in a city under siege, or to people living in Kentucky in 2022, even if he's born to a virgin? The baby is not the sign the king wanted. He just wanted his problem solved. And he might not be what you want either, but he is the sign that God has given you. And that's the sign that you really need. In the midst of all these disasters that come one after the other, we might forget why these disasters come at all. If not Israel invading Judah, it would be the Philistines or the Midianites or the Egyptians or the Babylonians or the Romans. And if you didn't have trouble with money, it would be disease or loneliness or 1,000 different things. They just keep on coming, these problems. But why so? Why is there no end to the disasters? Maybe if the king of Judah had asked that question, he would also have seen what the baby was born to do. And maybe, to understand the joy of Christmas, we ought to ask that question as well. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The disasters come because God wasn't with us before. But now, in this baby born to the virgin, now God has come to be with us. And now there will be an end to the disasters. The prophecy comes when nobody asked for it. But as it turns out, this is the real answer to all our problems. The baby is our sign from God that we are now saved. Now God is really with us. Maybe we didn't want him, but now he is ours. And that is our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. For our canticle today, we use some verses from Revelation chapter 22. Behold, I am coming soon, and bringing my reward with me, to give to everyone according to his deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Come, says the Spirit of the bride. Come, let each hearer reply. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. We pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.